Welcome to That Entrepreneur Life, a podcast about entrepreneurship that takes you from idea to launch and beyond. Each week, your hosts, Andrew Lees and Clint McPherson, discuss different business topics aimed at adding value to any entrepreneur's journey.
Welcome back, everyone, to another episode of That Entrepreneur Life. I'm your host, Clint McPherson. And unfortunately, my co-host, Andrew Lees, had a scheduling conflict today, so he won't be joining us today. But outside of that, let's go ahead and kick this thing off by welcoming our special guest today, Nora and Anna, to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
Hi, everyone.
And I think it's Ani, right? Not. Got it. My bad on that. No. But it's an honor to have you guys. And thank you for taking the time out of your day to actually jump on with us. But before we launch and everything, we typically do this with all our guests. We have everybody quickly share with our audience who they are and what you're all about.
Yeah, and Nora and I are business partners. We have a baby brand called Norani Baby. And we've been best friends for 20 years and business partners in our previous company and this one for 12 years now. Mm-hmm. It's been a long time. So, we have a swaddle that helps babies sleep longer. So we have a patent pending on a design of this specific swaddle. We like to joke that it's kind of like a baby straitjacket. So it keeps your baby tight, swaddled, cozy all night long, because we really want to help parents get more sleep as new parents.
Yeah, and the idea of the company was inspired when Ani and I had our first babies, and we actually ended up launching it when we were both pregnant with our second babies. Mm-hmm. So that part was very interesting. Both of us having high-risk pregnancies and dragging a bunch of boxes around.
Right. To say the least, right? I mean, with all that said, as best friends currently, right? And as founders of, is it Motomob and obviously Norani Baby right now. Can you take our listeners back to when your entrepreneurial journeys actually started? It could have been what you just said when you met together. But obviously you just told us too that you've been doing this for a long time. So can you tell us about that and what keeps that fire burning deep inside both of you to do this on a daily basis?
I think it all starts from our parents. I have to give them credit. We have immigrant parents. They came here as immigrants, and that's the immigrant mindset. You know, work hard and keep your eye on the prize. No one's going to hand anything to you. You need to fight for it. So I think that's where it started for us. And once we both graduated college, that was the mindset. You know, we both started working for other companies. I was working for a big corporate company doing the 9-to-5, and it was just not satisfying for me, because, you know, we had other ideas. And so that's when we left our jobs and, you know, took the plunge. When you're in your 20s, taking that plunge is so much easier.
Take all the risks in your 20s. Yeah. That's when you're like really growing as a person.
So we took that plunge and started a digital media company, and we did that for about 10 years. And then we decided it was time. You know, we had changed as people. We had evolved. We had grown.
Moms. We're trying to become moms.
Yeah, we were trying to become moms. And we realized that, you know, we were in a super stressful environment and we needed to leave. And, you know, that's another thing about entrepreneurs, you know, or at working anywhere. You need to realize when you're not in a healthy environment and it's taking a toll on your health. So we exited the company and we took one of the brands with us, which was Motomob. And then we were doing Motomob, but we were digital creators. So we were creating content, beauty, fashion, style, all of that stuff. And then we got pregnant, had our babies, and our interests shifted. And that's normal too. You know, you take the plunge in your 20s and then your interests shift in your 30s. So we were in a different place in our life. And that's when we realized, you know, we had that moment where we asked ourselves, what are we doing with our lives? What's
going to make us happy?
Yeah, what's going to make us happy? And that's where the idea of Norani Baby came about. And for 2 years now, we've been working effortlessly to get that off the ground. And we launched November 2019 when I was I just had a baby in November 2019, and Ani was newly pregnant with her baby girl that she just recently had as well.
Yeah. That's an amazing story. Very inspiring, right? Because again, entrepreneurs and our listeners, it's not, the path is never just straight, right? I mean, the shifting goes on continuously. And like you said, I love the way you said, like, you started off on one journey, you ended somewhere else. And being fearless, right, at that young age, that, like you said, is perfect. You're getting out of college, you're fearless, right? You're going to take the plunge. When you get older, you get used to that 9 to 5 or whatever. You get used to that comfort that it comes along with that. And you're less likely to take a plunge.
Yeah. And you have more to lose at that point. You know, you have a family, you have kids. You can't just take a plunge at that point. You know, thankfully, I don't know, we still have that like fearless attitude, I want to say, and we have the support of our family.
Well, see that, but that's even better, right? Because again, you've continued to have that mentality that no, like, we're going to do this because you see where it has gotten you today, right? I mean, I'm sure like I know you face adversity with going through the pregnancy issues and all that stuff. And one of those things is like, you never gave up, right? Y'all continued to do it. You trusted the process and you ended up with what? Four kids and maybe more now. I don't know, but I mean, like, four beautiful kids, right? Miracles, right?
Not more, but we have two each.
And Ani and I actually, we have this thing that we do with one another, and I think it's super helpful. And
it doesn't work for everyone.
It's not for everyone, for sure. And, you know, it took us, between the two of us, it took us about 4 years to have our babies. And we went through 9 IVF cycles. And that is a lot. If you're not familiar with it, that is a lot of medication to put into your body. That is a lot of needles.
It's like 200 needles.
You know, like thousands. So, you know, we've had our ups and downs. We have our ups and downs. Everyone has ups and downs. So what we used to do with one another, or we still do with one another, is, you know, if something big happens that moment, we give ourselves 24 hours to mourn, be angry, be sad, cry, let it all out. Because, you know, everyone knows that keeping it in is not going to help. And you can't go on your entire life in that mindset as well. So we give ourselves 24 hours to let it all out, and then we collect our thoughts and we're like, let's do this.
Let's move on. Upwards.
Yeah.
I love that. I love that strategy.
Yeah, doesn't work for everyone.
No, exactly. You're going to have people that stretch at 48, 72, right, and continue to go on.
But you're not stretching it to like 72 months.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Different time frames of being upset and mourning and being, you know, trying to get over something. But the whole point is you have to eventually move on from it and learn and grow.
Yeah. That's not to say you forget about it, right? Because it's something that you, exactly. It's one of those things that the process means something, and you can always learn from it along the way, right? It's like you take it, you note something down, even if it's a mental note, write it down, whatever it is, whatever the process is for you that works, just get there, get familiar with it, and just make sure that it works for you. Like you said, what you two do, it doesn't work for everybody. But at the end of the day, it's cool that you found that outlet or whatever it is that helps you with that process. So with that inspirational story, I mean, you've both faced a lot of adversity, like we've mentioned, along your journey, trying to get to where you are today. Okay. But is there anything that you have taken away from that process, whether it be your pregnancy challenges, whether it, you know, changing, you know, interest, helped you get to where you are currently as entrepreneurs and best friends? And how have you applied that experience that you've went through together in business?
I think that having hardships and having to overcome them has been kind of the core of our work ethic. So, you know, if someone says no, a door closes, you get rejected, it's okay. You take a quick beat and you go back and you try again. You know, a really good example is there was a really big hospital in Los Angeles called Cedars, and we really wanted to be in Cedars, you know, with our swaddles. And they said no to us every single week. And every single week we just kept going back and we're like, one more time. And it kind of started to become a joke that they were like, oh, you're here again, you know? And eventually they're like, okay, fine, we'll carry your swaddle, just because they started to kind of like appreciate that like annoying persistency that we have. And I think it's important to just never, you're going to hear no in business. You're going to hear no a million times. Like you said, it's never straight road. It's never, you know, straight and narrow road. It's the windiest road ever. Everyone's going to say no to you. Once in a while, you'll hear a yes, but a lot of times you're going to hear no, and you just have to keep fighting and keep knocking on doors and keep trying, because eventually you'll turn that no into yes business wise.
No, that's perfect though. I mean, that right there, you're going to face adversity. You're going to get the no's. And if you're a person that takes that personally, you're not going to make it too far. Right. I know when we start our business, I think the worst thing for a lot of businesses right off the bat is to see a whole lot of success right away. Because that's not how it typically happens, right? I mean, I'm not saying it's great to, you're killing it, great, but there's going to be an obstacle eventually that gets in your way. And so I think for me, I face a lot of those obstacles and learning curves because I came strictly straight out of the military. I honestly didn't know what the hell I was doing, right? But I didn't want to take the fake it till you make it, approach. I just don't like that. But I made sure I educated myself. I learned the process. I own my own digital marketing agency now. But again, it's something that I took time to, you know, evolve into. I didn't just jump out there and be like, okay, guys, I can do anything you want me to do. Because then you get in trouble that way, right? You're creating red flags for yourself and your customers that they don't even know yet. And then you get into it and you find out that you're over your head.
Yeah, that's right? Being a jack of all trades, master of none.
Exactly. And so, I mean, but it's a learning curve for everybody, especially if you've never owned a business before. But like you said, I love how you took the approach. You're like, we did it when we were young. We took the risk, we took the plunge. And again, you learn and evolve the process. And now you're on a different road than you were when you started. And that's what I like about entrepreneurship, because the journey, again, just because you get to the top of one mountain does not mean that the journey's over. You know, I mean, those are like maybe some goals that you set along the way. Like, I want to hit this mile mark, whatever. But when you get there, it doesn't stop, because if it does stop, you're not an entrepreneur. It's like, you got to figure out more ways to make money. You got to figure out more ways to just live and create stuff. And I love how y'all, the swaddle, how that came about and how like the co-creators patent pending right now with it. But like, can you give me a little bit of insight on that? Because I know that, Ani, it was your daughter, right? That was in the NICU. Okay, for 3 months, right? And so while that is going on, that's when the whole initiative that you started for your website. And can you tell us more about that? I mean, I know I'm giving a little bit blank overview, but yeah. I know you can answer it better than I could.
My daughter was born with, the acronym is VSD. So basically she was born with two holes in her heart. So she was unable to come home until she had open heart surgery. But in order for the complications to be reduced for open heart surgery, they require babies to be of a certain age or weight limit. Because again, it's better for them. It's easier recovery. So my daughter was in the NICU for 3 months, you know, we're waiting for her to grow and get big. And so obviously my husband and I, you know, we also have a 4-year-old, so we would take turns going back and forth to the NICU. We were never allowed to go there at the same time, but you know, one of us would go in the morning, afternoon, night, but every single night I went to the NICU and I would swaddle her so that she would get a good night's sleep, because I was like, well, if she sleeps really well, that means, you know, she'll be able to eat more and grow. So sleep is obviously just, it's so important for babies, right? Mm-hmm. And eventually the nurses started to kind of get used to seeing the swaddle, but I never told them it was my swaddle until one day they were doing, I got there early in the morning and they were doing rounding. So it was like the doctor and the director and everyone, and they were kind of going over the plans of when her surgery is going to be. And one of them was like, "What is this swaddle? It's really cool." And the nurse said, "Oh, it's like this really great swaddle that keeps her swaddled all night long. And isn't it cute?" And I didn't say anything at that moment, and I waited for them to talk about it. And then eventually when they stopped talking about it, I was like, "It's actually, you know, my swaddle that I co-created with my best friend." And I kind of gave them this whole background, and they were like so impressed that it was helping her sleep so well. And so another fast forward a couple of weeks later, and I was having a conversation with, you know, the director of the NICU, and she was telling me that so many of the parents who have babies there, because it's a children's hospital, you know, can't afford the luxury of a nice blanket or a swaddle. And we were like, Nora and I were just gutted, you know. We were like, you know, it's something you don't even think about, like, yeah, a swaddle, you know, or like a baby blanket. And so we started the initiative. We did a huge round of donations right up front, and then right after that, it was Nora's idea. She's like, "Why don't we just, you know, create something on our site so people anywhere, everywhere can donate a swaddle to children's hospitals or NICUs or orphanages or children in need." So that's kind of how the idea started about. And honestly, it's like a really proud thing that we feel accomplished for doing.
Yeah, we've donated over 300 swaddles so far.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I mean, I think just even as an entrepreneur, right, there's always things, you know, that mean something to us. And so with you tying that together from your daughter to just making sure other individuals, you know, even if that can't afford something like that or don't even think about like how it could help them because they don't know about it. Right. So I think that's just inspiring in itself. And that's what true entrepreneurship is about too, I think, to a degree. It's like making sure that you not only are out there hustling every day, making things work, but you're doing things for other people and for other people that actually matter. Right. And it might, and to them, they don't even know that, but to somebody like me that actually reads it on your website or reads it on Podmatch and just sees that, it's inspiring. It always feels better to help, right, instead of just take. And so I think you're in the right spot for that. And I love that whole initiative that y'all created.
Nora always says there's no point in having any means in life if you're not using it to help other people. And I think that's just such a great,
yeah,
thing that she like says all the time. It's so important.
that's spot on, Nora. I mean, so guys, as best friends, right? And I know from being an entrepreneur and running a business that having a best friend and or a family member working with you in a business can be challenging for some that don't have that right mindset. But the people that can face that adversity, because again, you're going to have your ups and downs together as friends. You're going to have your ups and downs together as even when you're best friends, I consider you family, right? So as a family, you're there with seeing each other every day. Can you two speak about not only being the serial entrepreneurs that you are, but being best friends that have launched two separate companies together? How challenging has that been as individuals that again have to deal with each other every day? And I'm not saying it's a bad thing, right? Because best friends, obviously it's a good thing, but I know there has to be some challenges and bumps along the way.
It's probably one of the hardest things doing it. You know, initially you do it because you're like, "Oh yeah, let's do it. Oh my God, great idea." Right. Because that's how everyone thinks about this. And it is one of the most challenging things. You know, we were in business for 10 years together and we were in business with another best friend as well. So one thing we learned is you can't be in business with everyone. So, but one thing,
even if you have the same general goals, you still can't be in business with everyone.
Yeah, even if you are at the entrepreneur mindset, boss mindset, this and that, but like you can't have too many cooks in the same kitchen. So, you know, and the reason Ani and I remain best friends and actually our friendship grew stronger than that and we became family, where she is the godmother to my daughter and I'm the godmother to her son, because we have one thing we learned in the 10 years we're in business together is respect.
Yep.
That is one of the most important things. We don't get along all the time. We have a lot of arguments all the time.
We don't see eye to eye on every single issue or every design or every print or, you know, but like Nora said, it's about having respect for the other person's opinion and thoughts and not just immediately dismissing it, I think is really important.
And another thing, this is the one advice I would give anyone that's going to go into business with a friend, is leave everything at work. So, you know, people say like, leave your work at work, don't take it home with you. It's the same thing. If we are talking about something work related and we're not agreeing, we don't take that home and continue with the next day at work. We try to, you know, squash it or come to a conclusion that day. And then the next day is a fresh day. It's a new start. So we don't continue to drag it on. We don't disrespect one another. Mm-hmm. I think that's what respect is, I have to say, one of the most important things. Communication and respect. If one of us isn't feeling good about something, we don't just like let it build up. And I have to say women tend to do that a lot. You know, they let it build up. And then one day they explode. And we've learned early on in our work relationship together is to not do that. Just, you know, speak about it.
Yeah. I think that's huge for any relationship though, right? Not only best friends, but if in a marriage, yep, whatever it is. That's what I'm saying. It's like your work marriage, right? But it's, at the end of the day, it's like, look, you have to have that talk, the communication. Same way if you have a huge team under you, right? You have to talk and you have to be able to settle. Like, okay, this is work. We can be friends outside of this, but this decision's made, or why I'm saying this is because it is for the best interest of our company. It's for the best interest of what is right here and the here and now for what we're trying to accomplish as a company. And you know, I think a lot of people take things personally, and it's not always personal, right? They'll take it home with them. They'll complain about you or even outside, they won't call you or want to hang out with you. And it's like, look, it's not personal. I had a lot of that when I was in the military. It was before I was an entrepreneur. But at the end of the day, it's like I had to make decisions that would either keep people alive or you know, take people's lives, unfortunately. And that was hard to deal with. And then sometimes as far as like, you don't want to be the leader of somebody in the military and have to call their parents because you didn't make the right decision, right? And have that conversation with them. And unfortunately, your son or daughter died because of something I didn't do. And so my thing is like, I take that same mindset when I'm in my business. I have to make the decision that means the most and that is for the best interest of the now, right? And again, learn how to separate that from work. You know, I can't take it back. If it's the same way, if me and my wife don't see eye to eye on something, hey, we have to talk about that. You know, because if we don't see eye to eye on it and don't communicate, guess what? It's going to ruin our relationship outside of that, whatever it was, right? Taking the kids to the zoo, buying a truck or a car or whatever it is, you know? And when my wife had the miscarriage, that was hard for us, right? Because it was our first kid. We had no idea. We thought it was just going to happen, right? You get pregnant, the baby's coming. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. You know, and but we have two great kids now because of it. So guys, am I breaking up? Everything's straight? Okay. It seems like something's going in and out. I don't know if it's my side or your side. I just want to make sure. But guys, is there anything that you want to talk to our guests about your companies? Let me phrase it this way. Through your entrepreneurial journey, what from the highs to the lows that you've experienced, okay, what has been the most difficult thing for each one of you individually? It could be the same thing, but maybe not.
For me, I want to say it's probably, you know, we're in our previous company, we were at around 50 people in staff. We had grown from just us to 50 people and staff. And I think it's getting into the mindset of starting it all over again. You know, you don't have 50 people doing things for you. We're literally doing everything. So when I say we're We were bringing in the boxes. I was 8 months pregnant. Ani was newly pregnant. And we were bringing the boxes. We're doing everything. So, you know, we get that. I feel like kind of gets me scared a little because am I doing it all? Am I managing it all? Am I missing something? I think that's one of the biggest challenges right now, as I think that's any startup though.
Yeah, I'm going to kind of piggyback off of what Nora said. And I think that, you know, when you're a startup, you wear so many hats and, you know, we don't want to be two cooks in one kitchen. So we have our list of responsibilities separated. Nora's in charge of one thing. I'm in charge of another, vice versa, back and forth. And you just want to make sure that, you know, for me, it's about making sure that I'm doing my part to help with the success of the company, because it's really important for both of us that we're putting in so much time, effort, money, you know, resources into it to make sure that, like, you're doing your part to make sure that it'll eventually be a big success. Is, you know, it's scary sometimes. You're like, am I doing enough? Am I doing this right? Am I doing that right? And, you know, sometimes you don't know. Sometimes you just have to figure it out as you go along. But, you know, it can be scary, especially like we mentioned, going back on, you know, when you're in your 20s, you can take all these risks and you're like, oh, it's totally fine. But, you know, as you grow and you have a family and you have people who depend on you and you want to make sure that you're building something really great, you know, your risks are a little more calculated. So you want to make sure you're doing it right.
For sure. No, I agree. I think that's a huge takeaway too. Because, I mean, I think a lot of us as entrepreneurs, we fear the unknown. But I think that's what holds a lot of individuals back from ever beginning, right? They fear the unknown, and if it's uncomfortable, they're not doing it. Like, I'm not doing that. Nope. I don't have that safety buffer or whatever it is. But if you know what, if you do what you're supposed to be doing, I think everything's meant to be. I don't think things happen by coincidence. I think, you know, every place you are, like with us talking right now, it was meant to happen, right? It's like what's going to be is going to be. And if you take a failure or a shortcoming in a business as something that, you know, you can't get back up from, all you got to look at is like, look, that was meant to happen. You know, I'm supposed to be here and now. That whatever happened is a learning experience, right? I think the only time you fail is really when you give up or stop. And I think as long as you continue your entrepreneurial journey, no matter if the business fails or not, as long as you keep going, you can always get better. And so I think that's huge takeaway from, and I love your, both of your answers from that.
I think another important thing is to never compare yourselves to other people. You know, maybe someone else is doing something similar. Maybe someone else is in business and maybe they're slightly more successful than you. Like, you should always just kind of do your own thing. Don't hate on someone else. Like, keep your eye on the prize, work hard, and, you know, don't ever compare yourself to someone else. Like, why is this person making more money than me? Why is this person have more sales than me? Like, everyone's doing their own thing. And, you know,
there's room for success for everyone. Got to remember that, you know, especially with the social media era. I think a lot of people forget that because everyone's constantly just comparing themselves to one another. Mm-hmm. And what people are not seeing is that what you're seeing online is the highlight reel. And you're not seeing the struggles, you know, we have boxes all around here and we're actually doing the work for it. They don't see that. They're like, you know,
they don't see all the sweat equity you're putting in. Right.
Exactly.
I mean, like you said, the 50 employees or whatever you had under you helping you do things. And now it's like you transition over here and now you're like, okay, I'm actually in the trenches doing work, like work I hadn't had to do for several years, a decade, whatever it is. It's like now you're actually grinding, you're actually doing, putting that sweat equity in because that's important. And you're actually like, that's an inspiring story in itself because everybody thinks when you make a decision, it's almost like that field of dreams. If you build it, they'll come. That's not always the case, right? If it's a demand and it's something that's in need, if you show up at the right time, yes. Okay. But that's not always the case because you might be in need of something and create it for yourself and then nobody else in the world needs it. Right. And so that's where you fall short when it comes to product. But I think again, like you said, it's just one of those things that you got to keep going on, not compare yourself to anybody and just be you. Right. And that I think that's really important. Be you, be authentic, be original. and just keep that creative process going. So guys, as we wrap up this episode, I said, guys, sorry about that. Ladies, as we wrap up this episode, if you could leave our listeners with one piece of advice, what would it be? And it could be multiple pieces.
Don't give up. You'll have really hard days, and that's okay, because that's what builds character. And, you know, if you believe in yourself, don't ever give up. Just keep grinding.
If you're taking a plunge, definitely don't give up. And then one of my favorite sayings, and this is for people that already are in business, be nice to the people on your way up, because you're going to meet them on your way down. So, you know, it doesn't matter if you have 0 employees, 100 employees, treat even everyone equally, be nice. And that goes a long way.
No, I agree. I think y'all are spot on with everything right now. I'm really looking forward to continue and to stay in touch with you to see how your journey continues. I'm excited. Hopefully that patent pending, all that goes through, you'll get the patent and everything. Very highly encouraged with that, but I love your story. And ladies, I thank you so much for jumping on with me and helping add value to what we're trying to do on our podcast.
Thanks so much, Clint.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, no doubt. So guys, thank you so much for listening to That Entrepreneur Life. To learn more about what Nora and Ani are working on, check out norani.com. That's norani.com. If you like what you heard today, guys, make sure to subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or any other major podcast directory. You can also find us on all the socials and on our website at thatentrepreneurlife.com. I also want to quickly give a special shout out to our family and friends, like always, to include our listeners, followers, and subscribers. If you find value in our show, please consider making a donation. Even just a few dollars helps us keep things moving along and brings value to your entrepreneurial journey. Thanks for continuing to support what we do as entrepreneurs. And don't forget to join us next week for another episode of That Entrepreneur Life.
Thanks for listening to That Entrepreneur Life podcast. Be sure to visit thatentrepreneurlife.com to join the conversation, access our show notes, and discover our fantastic bonus content. Don't forget to join us next week for another episode as we continue to add value. Until next time.